Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
How concerned does this make you to see the car here?
Well, I'm happy that we found it because I'm hoping that it'll give us some clues on where she might be. I don't know what to think. I mean, it's just, at first it scares me because, you know, it's here.
The 1990s are fondly remembered by a lot of people. It seems many have nostalgic memories of the time. The 90s also marked the introduction of DNA and other similar investigation processes. There are, of course, a number of things that came with the 90s that are also sad. A number of cold cases came with the 90s as well. I recently found a case from 1995 that somehow remains unsolved. After reading the details surrounding this case, I felt compelled to research into this case more and share it with you all. This is the disturbing case of Anne Dunlap. It was December 30th, 1995, just after Christmas in Bloomington, Minnesota, when Anne Barbara Dunlap would suddenly go missing. Anne was 31 years old at the time and worked as a manager at Pillsbury. From what I could tell, this is the same Pillsbury brand from your local supermarkets. The timeline of events is a bit complicated in this story. It is hard to say when Anne went missing or where. There isn't too much information out there about her whereabouts before she was reported missing. According to Brad Dunlap, Anne's husband, she had left her parents' house where they were living at the time, sometime in the morning to meet her friends for lunch. She later returned at around 12 p.m. and then left again to go shopping at the mall at around 2:30 p.m. The mall she was alleged to have gone to is the Mall of America, which is a massive shopping mall that covers roughly 8 million square feet over multiple levels. Oddly enough, though, police could not verify that Anne had been at the mall at all. They looked over security footage and questioned numerous employees of the mall. No one seemed to have seen her there. I should mention Brad did hire a private investigator at some point, and this PI claims at least two people claimed to have seen her there. Anne never returned home at 4:30 p.m. as she had planned. 2 days later, on January 1, 1996, at around 8 a.m., Anne's maroon 1987 Toyota Celica was found in the parking lot of a Kmart located in a seedy part of Minneapolis. The car was left unlocked with the keys inside, which is odd to say the least. Tracking dogs were brought in immediately and tracked her sent back to the store, but this seemed to be where the trail ended. Officials towed Anne's car to investigate it further, and when they opened the trunk, they found a gruesome discovery. Police had found the body of Anne Dunlap. She had been stabbed multiple times, with several cuts to her throat. The police officer who discovered the body was quoted as saying, "There was a lot of blood." Reports mention her wedding ring was missing, and there were no signs of sexual assault. From what officials can put together, they believe Anne was knocked out or some dude in some way before being placed in the trunk and killed. With seemingly no motive, other than robbery, potentially due to the missing wedding ring, officials had a hard time coming up with suspects. They did, however, have one person in particular in their sights, though. Brad Dunlap, Anne's husband who had seemingly been concerned with his wife's disappearance, was now a person of interest. Officials searched the family's home 3 different times. They found blood in the garage on the floor and door. Anne's parents claimed they both cut their hands that week and the blood could be theirs. Some recent updates to this case actually prove that wrong, though. A recent test of the blood has shown three of the spots to match Anne and not the other members of the family. Brad did give a 5-hour interview with the police shortly after his wife was found. Essentially, Brad denied killing his wife or having anything to do with it. He refused to tell police where he was the hours before Anne's disappearance and directs all contact to his attorney. It definitely seems a bit odd, but he was very involved in the searches for her. After his interview, he returned to the home of Anne's parents and informed them Anne was dead, and the police think he did it. Anne's parents have always maintained their opinion that Brad is innocent. Brad's alibi is that he was running errands at the time. He claimed to have gone to a tropical fish store in Plymouth, Minnesota, to get supplies, but he claimed the store was closed when he got there. This, however, was refuted by the owner, who claimed the store closed at 5 p.m. that day and that Brad Dunlap had never stopped by at all. If Brad had gone to the store sometime between 2 and 4, how would it have been closed? Officials also learned he had made a purchase at Big Top Liquors at around 5:30 p.m. Police did find a key piece of evidence that wouldn't normally seem to be important. They found a water bottle in Anne's car that had a unique price tag on it. At this point, most places had switched over to using barcodes and such, but the store this bottle of water was purchased from was still using the classic price tags. Police tracked down this store and interviewed the clerk who claimed they had sold the bottle of water to Brad Dunlap at around 6 p.m. that day. Now, officials did take a look at the poor quality security footage and did believe the person who bought the water did indeed look like Brad Dunlap. The footage was described as very grainy though, so I would suggest we take this piece with a grain of salt. This sadly seems to be where the investigation fades into a cold case. An unknown investigator was apparently quoted as saying this case would never be solved. It seemed later that year though, another investigator would come out and say this case would be solved and could be solved, and that Brad is still very much a suspect. Brad Dunlap was the sole beneficiary of two insurance policies that would pay out $1 million to him. After Anne's death, Brad and his attorney would begin a brutal legal dispute with Chubb Insurance Company of America. They refused to pay out the money because they suspected Brad had purposely killed his wife in order to collect on the policy. Brad then sued Chubb and Anne's estate. During the court hearings, Chubb disclosed they had received information from the investigators working on the case. The information among these documents they received showed damning evidence against Brad. The court ruled that this information was received privately, and that to make the playing field fair, they would have to make the information public. Brad would go on to claim the reason he increased the policy just before Anne's death was because of the house they had been building. This is also why they were living at Anne's parents' house at the time. After a long, grueling court process, Brad Dunlap and Chubb settled for around $600,000 to be paid out to Brad. This case remains unsolved. The story of Anne Dunlap's death may never be known. Or will it? This court case between Brad and Chubb released a lot of information that actually reopened the case. Officials are looking into Brad heavily. They 100% believe Brad Dunlap had killed his wife to collect on the insurance money. This, of course, is just a theory until proven without a shadow of a doubt.
In this affidavit, Voss outlined the evidence, calling Brad the only plausible suspect, claiming his motive was to cash in on $1 million in life insurance.
The murder was never solved, so here at Minneapolis Police Headquarters, the case files are still confidential. But across the street, here at federal court, documents have been released with stunning new details. It's part of a decades-old lawsuit in which a life insurance company argued it should not have to pay Ann Dunlap's husband.
Something else never reported before. A blood-stained fireplace log found in the garage. A lab report says that blood matched Ann's DNA.
There are so many questions I have in this case. While piecing together this story through articles and blogs online, I found so many holes in the story that I just had to make a section in this video just going over the many questions and potential theories involved in this case. My first and main question is, what was Ann and Brad's life like before they began the construction of this new house? And when did they move into Ann's parents' house? During the investigation, I constantly kept asking myself, did Ann have a cell phone or anything like that? I know back in 1995, cell phones were not what we know them to be today, but I would like to know if she had something like that, and to see if there was any activity we could trace from it. Officials say Ann had her throat cut many times. What type of knife do they think was used? I did see they found a piece of a pocket knife. Police suspect it was a sheep's foot blade. They found this piece inside of Ann. Knowing the type of knife used in the crime could really help us profile the killer. Autopsies show that she had been struck with a blunt object, which would explain why she had no defensive wounds. Her DNA was also found on a log in the garage of the home. Was she killed in the garage or somewhere else around the house? My last question is the travel for that day. Brad seemed to be driving around the area where their house was being built a lot that day. Could he have potentially killed Ann out there and returned her body to where it was found? I also want to note that apparently he had told the police to check that Kmart that her body was found at. Ultimately, I hope with all the recent updates and the investigation reopening that we can help solve this case. Ann and her family deserve closure and answers. With so many details seemingly pointing at Brad Dunlap, it is hard to look in any other direction for answers. Police have investigated other suspects, though, so police are not 100% ruling out anything. Thanks for watching this video. If you enjoyed this case, please be sure to give it a like and share this video with your friends. The more eyes we can get on these cases, the better chance we have to solve them. If you're new to the Swamp, why not join us and subscribe? Turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload new videos almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. I'd love to know your thoughts on this case. What do you think happened to Ann Dunlap? I'd love to see your thoughts in the comments down below. If you have any information that could potentially help move this case forward, please contact the Minneapolis Police Department tip line at 612-692-8477. With much of the information on this case being deleted from the internet, any information, even just sharing this video, is very vital to help solving this case. Please spread the word. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller Scary Stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and wherever else you listen to your podcast. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.
Pretty sick. And they're still out there.
Now in their mid-80s, Don and Louise Barber are reminded every new year of what happened to their 31-year-old daughter, Anne. The Barbers would like to see the killer brought to justice while they're still alive.
And it would be a load off our dear Brad. Our son-in-law has gone through so much because of it.
And of course, around here was tough. He was running around the lake and somebody spit on him and called him a bastard. And we would take him out to a restaurant and all these people would be looking at you and pointing. And it was, so he had to leave town. It was unbearable.
Definitely.
He is like another son.
Yes.
He is definitely another son. Mm-hmm. We love him dearly.
Frustrated that police put all their focus on Brad, the Barbers say they've given up hope police will solve the case. But it would be a welcome surprise.
Oh, would it ever?
It would be wonderful.